Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhagale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharani Nirvisesha Sunivari Paschata Vesakara. This is Bhakti Ratnakara Srinivasacharya's Bhagavatam recitation. It was decided on that day that Srinivas would recite verses from the Bhagavatam and explain their meaning. Raghunandana was happy with this decision and at once arranged for proper seats and invited the Mahantas. Shripati, Shrimoi, and others took their seats. Krishna, Mishra, Gopal, and Prabhu Virabhadra sat on celestial asanas. Virabhadra is the son of Nityananda. After Sri Raghunandana affectionately escorted Srinivas to his seat, all the Mahants requested Srinivas to recite the Bhagavatam. They assured him that they would not mind him reciting for them and told him he should feel no hesitation to speak. Srinivas bowed to the feet of the Mahants and then offered a flower, tulsi leaves, and sandal paste to the holy book. He began the recitation with Mangal Charana. His voice was sweet like a cuckoo, and the entire audience was enchanted by his recitation. He cried as he recited the verses of Sri Rasalilas, and then he explained the meaning of the Sanskrit verses in sweet language. The audience was fully satisfied by his recitation. Mesmerized by Srinivas's sweet voice, some of the Mahants said that the spirit of Sri Sukha had entered Srinivas. One person felt that Srinivas had been empowered by Vedavyas in his lucid explanations of the verses. Another person felt that it was so the mercy of Gadadhar Pandit Goswami which enabled Srinivas to speak so sweetly. Others gave credit to Srinivas, saying that his mercy enabled Srinivas. To chant rhythmically. Another person felt that Gauranga himself had explained the verses through the mouth of Srinivas. Time passed unnoticed for the listeners who were all absorbed in the sweet recitations of Srinivas. You know what mesmerized means? It means hypnotized. Dr. Mesmer was the first one that in the West anyway, that came up with mesmerizing. So that's, then it somehow later it'd be called hypnotized. Finding that day was soon becoming night, Srinivas stopped the reading of the Bhagavatam, paid respects to the books most humbly, and then lay prostrate at the feet of Mahaprabhu's companions. Being satisfied with Srinivas, they affectionately placed their hands on his head and blessed him by saying that he would be able to pacify their grief-stricken hearts. They prayed that Mahaprabhu would fulfill Srinivas' desires, and they felt that whoever dedicated himself to the feet of Srinivas would certainly get the favor of Krishna Chaitanya. By your mercy, the living entities will get exemption from their miseries, said one devotee. While one devotee embraced him intensely, another bent to touch the feet of Raghunandana, thanking him for arranging the recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam by Srinivas. Sri Raghunandana directed his followers to assemble in the courtyard of Gauranga Mandir without delay. They decorated the pavilion and arranged everything for the beginning of Sankirtan. He brought a kola, kartel, and other musical instruments and prepared them for kirtan. You know what is called? Mridanga. That's the Bengali name. I don't know why we always call it mridanga. After the arrangements were made, Raghunandana invited the Mahants. They first performed the Sandhya Artik of the deity of Mahaprabhu and then began Sankirtan. They were happy to see the musical instruments, scented sandalwood paste, and beautiful flower garlands, which were being kept in various containers. Raghunandana had prepared sandal paste and flower garlands for each Mahant in a different container, and he requested each Mahant to accept it. They also offered sandalwood paste and flower garlands to the Kol and Kartals of Sri Mahaprabhu. Sri Raghunandana and Sri Lochan then took sandal paste and flower garlands to offer to Krishna Mishra and Sri Gopal. The Mahants were enchanted by the beauty of these two Vaishnavas. They also decorated the body of Sri Veerbhadra with sandal paste and flower garlands. Then decorated the body of Prabhu Veerbhadra signaled Srinivas to give him sandal paste and flower garlands, which he in turn offered to Srila Raghunandana. Sri Raghunandana was embarrassed and perplexed by Veerbhadra's behavior, so he turned and offered sandalwood paste and flower garlands to Srinivas very affectionately. It was a beautiful scene with the great Mahants all exchanging sandalwood paste and garlands amongst themselves. As they stood beneath a beautifully decorated canopy, some of the Mahants began to play the instruments. An auspicious roar resounded through the air and hundreds of lamps were lit around the compound where the Sankirtan was held. The sounds of Kola, Kartal, Kanjala, and Kanja created a peculiar divine sensation. The main singers started kirtan by introducing their songs distinctly. The entire assembly was enchanted by the notations, tuning, scale, modulation of the voice, musical timekeeping, and trilling of the kirtan. Whoever took part in the kirtan felt as though he had regained his youth. The compound was soon overcrowded, and both the audience and the participants of the Sankirtan had tears streaming down his face. Even demigods mingled with the ordinary people and enjoyed Sankirtan, floating in an ocean of happiness, forgetting their own existence. The Mahants chanted and danced madly in a kirtan which mesmerized the entire universe. Wow. That's the best way to hypnotize, by kirtan. Then one, like that verse by Rupa Goswami says, when the holy name enters the heart, then the mind becomes stunned and the senses are inert. It isn't tuned out of the external surroundings. How can I describe the dancing of Mishra Krishna and Sri Gopal? Whoever saw the dancing of Sri Veerbhadra forgot his miseries. The devotees lamented that they had only two eyes to see the beautiful dance. A blind man who was listening to the kirtan asked another man the name of the dancer. When he heard the name Veerbhadra, he thought that the name contained the power to sweep away all evils. The word Veera means destroying the wicked, and the word Bhadra means protecting the good. He lamented his blind illness and begged the Lord silently to correct his misfortune. His crying touched the heart of Nityananda, who glanced affectionately towards the blind man. The blind man got back his vision and became mad with joy. A tremendous ovation acknowledged the glory of Veerbhadra. Christians always ask us, do you have miracles?
Yeah,
we have so many. Many in the history of the Vaishnavas. That disciple of Ramachandra, the king tortured him and burned out his eyes, and he got him back. He didn't care, and then Ramanuja told him you should pray to the deity to get your eyes back so you can. He didn't want to do it, but he did, and he got his sight back. They passed the entire night in Sankirtan. Crying, they remembered the glory of Mahaprabhu. Lifting their hands in the air, they called out the name of Prabhu and his intimate associates, namely Nityananda Ram, Advaita Acharya, Pandit Gadadhar, Haridas, Srivas, Swarup, Ramananda, and Sri Madhva, Vasu, Murari, Mukunda, Gadadhar Das, and Narahari. They repeatedly requested Mahaprabhu to appear before them once with all his followers. As they rolled on the ground in despair, their bodies became covered with dust. The sound of their crying filled the air. Mahaprabhu could not restrain his affection toward such sincere devotees, and he appeared before them. In his miraculous appearance, Mahaprabhu consoled his devotees in many ways, took away all their miseries, and drowned them in an ocean of divine happiness. In great satisfaction, they bowed to one another, embraced each other, and shared tears of joy. The night passed, and in the morning they observed the Mangal Arti for Sri Mahaprabhu. After observing the behavior of the Mahants, the village people began to shout the name of Hari. But the people had various opinions. One person lamented the short duration of the night and blamed Providence. In his opinion, such an Ekadasi day as this came very rarely in one's life. On that day, they all had observed the rainfall of love caused by the Mahantas. Another person commented that the Vaishnavas had an important qualification that they could fast or remain for the entire day and night. Another person said that it was only possible for the associates of Chaitanya to observe the Ekadasi in that way. One person felt that no one should ever take food on the day of Ekadasi. Whoever took food or offered food to anyone on the day would be committing a great sin. But another person felt that only one who got the favor of his companions of Mahaprabhu could properly observe the Ekadasi. In humility, one man questioned whether he could get sufficient faith without observing the auspicious Ekadasi day, since he was a sinner. One person expressed his ignorance about the sanctity of the auspicious day, while another lamented his own misfortune of not taking the opportunity to prostrate himself at the feet of the Vaishnavas. One man tried to console others who were lamenting, and then all of them went together to the compound of the Sankirtan to offer obeisances to the Vaishnav Mahants. And by this action, they were able to get the mercy of the companions of Mahaprabhu. The Mahants appreciated the sincere efforts of Sri Raghunandana. It was the opinion of one person that whoever received the affectionate of Raghunandana would certainly get the mercy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Another person especially appreciated Raghunandana for his kindness towards poor, worthless, and miserable people. Another person appreciated his humble disposition and his politeness. Someone else was enchanted by his beauty, which could be compared with that of the Kandarpa, Cupid. One person appreciated his efficiency in singing, playing musical instruments, and dancing, while another person appreciated his arrangements for the kirtan, which they had all enjoyed so much. While the Mahants were discussing the good qualities of Raghunandana, he arrived at that spot. He was embarrassed to hear his own glories, for he was a humble person. Observing Sri Raghunandana's humble state of mind, the Mahants were overwhelmed with emotion and embraced him for a long time. So we're all individuals, so everybody sees everything different. There's so many different opinions. It doesn't say what's right, because for one person it's right, for another person it's not. Some things are absolute, like chanting Hare Krishna, that's for everybody. But details are not. And even seeing like Krishna when he came in the wrestling arena also, everybody saw him differently. Sri Raghunandana asked the Mahants how they should perform the observance of the day of Dwadasi Purana. The Mahants suggested that they should celebrate the day by eating the prasad of Gauranga together. Sri Raghunandana was happy to hear that suggestion. Without delay, gathered a variety of ingredients and ordered his disciples to cook very carefully. The Mahantas went to the houses and completed their routine morning duties of evacuating, bathing, and chanting their religious prayers. Meanwhile, many items were cooked and the priests of the temple offered them to Mahaprabhu. After Mahaprabhu had had sufficient time to honor the food, the priest took the preparations from the deity room. Sri Raghunandana called the Mahants and showed them the various items which had been offered to the Lord. They all were pleased to see the great variety of foodstuffs that had been offered to Mahaprabhu. After the performance of arti, the mahants took their seats. Devotees placed banana leaves and cups of scented drinking water before them and carefully offered each mahant the prasad of Mahaprabhu. Within the temple, the devoted priest affectionately performed the duties related to the Lord's bedtime. He bowed to the Lord repeatedly and then left the deity room to serve prasad to the mahantas. He distributed both cooked food and fruits to the mahants, and after that he gave them the holy water by which the feet of the Lord had been washed, the Charnamrita. The mahants requested Raghunandana to eat with them, but he humbly refused, saying that he preferred the pleasure of watching them all eat together. They invoked the name of Sri Hari, and they began to eat, and Raghunanda greatly enjoyed the scene. Narahari Thakur appears to Sri Raghunandana. Sri Raghunandana quickly entered the Sri Bhoga Mandir and took only a small portion of food. He went to a lonely place where Sri Narahari Thakur used to live, placed the seat of Thakur on the ground and put various items of food in a glass of scented drinking water before the seat. He offered betel leaves on a plate and a flower garland from Lord Gauranga on a different plate before the seat of Sri Thakur. Thereafter, he sat on a seat and absorbed himself in meditation, through which he offered all these items to Thakur Narahari. After rising from his meditation, he closed the door of the room and waited outside for some time. Then he entered the room again to offer Thakur water for washing. When he opened the door, he saw Prabhu Narahari in a celestial body, was sitting on his seat. Raghunandan at once forgot himself and sank in an ocean of misery, remembering the disappearance of Prabhu Narahari. Then checking himself, he offered Sri Thakur the water for washing. With tears in his eyes, he took the seat of Prabhu Narahari on his head and paid his respects again and again. He then returned quickly to the place where the mahants were eating and then repeatedly praised him for his excellent food preparation. Sri Raghunandana requested them to take more prasad. When they had finished, they washed their mouths and requested Raghunandan to take his seat and eat with his men. But Raghunandan first served Srinivas and other devotees, and when they were finished, he finally took his own meal. Whoever received prasad on that festival greatly appreciated the activities of Sri Raghunandan in arranging such a large meal for everyone. When Raghunandan had finished all his duties, he went to the courtyard of Sri Gauranga and requested the mahantas to attend the ceremony, which is held when the Lord is awakened from his sleep. He then asked them to offer lamps . They were happy to hear After these two ceremonies, they began Sankirtan, which continued through half the night. They slept during the second half of the night, and in the morning they completed their routine morning duties of bathing, etc. When Raghunandana met them in the morning, Sripati and Srinidhi told him that they planned to leave that very day, but Raghunandana requested him to stay for another 2 or 4 days. Brahman Vaninath told him that they would leave the next day, but Raghunandana smilingly told him that there would be some question whether or not they would be allowed to leave the next day. He told them that there would be cooking in every house today, and he would be most satisfied if they would complete their bathing. They acknowledged his request. The priest of Gaurachandra brought the mahantas prasad and sweetmeats in many containers and gave them the water which had bathed the feet of Mahaprabhu. When the food which had been cooked in every house had been offered to Lord Krishna, The Mahants ate it gladly and passed their time talking about Lord Krishna. In his ecstasy, Raghunandana could not understand how many days and nights had passed. 2 to 4 days later, the Mahants decided they would leave. Raghunandana was quite disappointed at this, and he gave them many gifts. He held the hand of Sri Virabhadra and cried as he spoke with him on various topics. Just seeing the faces of Krishna Mishra and Sri Gopal, his heart ached in misery. With a heavy heart, Raghunandana spoke to each of the Mahants. In the morning, they all went to the courtyard of Sri Gauranga Mandir and observed the deity of Gaur Chandra. They offered their heartfelt respects and accepted flower garlands of Mahaprabhu from the priest. When they left Sri Kanda, the people of that village sank in the depth of misery and disappointment. Sri Raghunandana and others accompanied them for some distance, while Sripati and some other Mahantas consoled Sri Raghunandana. Srinivas and Sri Yadunandana in various ways, Sri Raghunandana and Srinivas at last returned to their houses. They passed that day together in Nam Sankirtan. The next day, Srinivas bid farewell to everyone and went to Jajigram. Sri Yadunandana went to Kantaka Nagara, and other Vaishnava went to their own villages. But people continued to talk about the grand festival held at the house of Raghunandana. Entreating the listeners to hear the narration with the divine mind, Das Narahari takes pleasure in writing the Bhakti Ratnakara by thinking of the lotus feet of Srinivas Acharya. Chapter 10, Glory to Navadvip Nath Sri Gaur Chandra. Glory to Nityananda, the Lord of Ekachakra. Glory to Advaita, the Jewel of Shantipur. Glory to the disciples of Mahaprabhu and glory to the listeners of my narration. Now we will begin a new narration. Observance of the death ceremony of Dvija Haridas Acharya. When Srinivas Acharya Thakur returned to Yajigram from Sri Kanda with all these followers, he began at once to teach his pupils from the books of the Goswamis. He silenced the heretics by boldly preaching that devotion was the best path. Sri Acharya was pleased with his disciples because they could quickly grasp the philosophy of the Goswami books, and the pupils were happy to have been trained by their guru. He decided to give Diksha to Sri Gokul Nanda and Sridas and other followers. As Gokula sat amongst other students, Srinivas told him how his heart burned because of the disappearance of Sarkar Thakur and Sridas Gadadhar. Because of his unhappy state of mind, he left Jajigram and gone to Vrindavan, only to find that on Krishna Ekadasi day in the month of Magh, Haridas Acharya had also disappeared. Thus he had sunk deeper in the ocean of misery. The Goswamis of Vrindavan were equally depressed, but they had requested Srinivas to go to Gaudadesh. Srinivas observed the two brothers, advised the two brothers to patiently take responsibility for the proper observance of the death anniversary of Acharya. He ordered them to go to the Kanchanagarya and make arrangements for various necessities, assuring them that he would also go there within 2 to 4 days. He advised them not to worry about anything because everything would be done easily by the mercy of the Acharya. Sri Gokul Nanda and his brother left immediately for Kanchanagarya, where the inhabitants greeted him warmly. The brothers approached wealthy persons and requested them to help arrange the festival. These wealthy people gave various useful items, built houses for the invited guests, and informed the two brothers when their arrangements were completed. Sri Gokul Nanda and Sridas were pleased with the arrangements. The people of the village speculated in various ways about the reason for the festival arrangements. One person clarified it by telling others that Haridas Acharya, a great disciple of Mahaprabhu, after Mahaprabhu's disappearance in Nilachala became difficult for Haridas to pass his days. He gradually dwindled to half life and then decided to leave this world forever. But according to the wish of Mahaprabhu, he checked himself for some time and called his own two sons, Sri Gokul Nanda and Sridas, to his side. He told them about the character of Srinivasacharya and advised him to take initiation from him. The next morning, Haridas left alone for Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, Haridas chose a very lonely place to live, and Srinivas once went there to meet him. At that time, Haridas repeatedly requested Srinivas to give Diksha Mantra to his two sons. Srinivas returned to Goda, but as he was traveling to Vrindavan for his second visit, he learned of the disappearance of Haridas along the month of Magh. Srinivas was grief-stricken, but Haridas consoled him in a dream. When Srinivas reached Vrindavan, everyone came to welcome him. At that time, he met Sri Gokul Nanda and Sridas and talked with them affectionately. He ordered them to go to Kanchanagaria and assured them he would also go there after some time. He also assured them that on the day of Krishna Ekadasi, in the month of Magh, he would give them Diksha Mantras. All these festival arrangements were made for observance of the auspicious day of the disappearance of Haridas Acharya. The man continued to claim that many great Bhagwats would come for the festival and the entire village would float in an ocean of sweet Sankirtan. He told them that although he had come to the village for some interaction with his relatives, he had heard about this festival and decided to stay there for the entire period. At that time, some commotion was noticed and the loud shouting of Lord Hari's name was heard. People began to move in the direction of the commotion, asking one another what was happening. One man explained that Acharya Thakur had arrived from Jajigram, so they all decided to go and meet him. They found that the house of Gokul Nanda was already overcrowded with people who wanted to visit the Acharya. Sridas and Sri Gokul Nanda were very glad to get the associate Sri Acharya Thakur, and they cordially welcomed Ramachandra Kaviraj and others. Vaishnavas from many different places came, and all the invited guests were taken to their respective houses. Gokul and Sridas were happy to receive them, with all the village devotees engaged themselves willingly in the service of the respected guests. Other villagers brought many useful items for the guests. The people of the village had never seen such an attractive group of Vaishnavas. They were charmed by the appearance of Srinivas, the perfect Vaishnava Mahanta. They were disappointed only because the guests would leave Kanchanagaria the next day. One man reassured them that they need not worry about the immediate departure of the Mahants because the next day would be Krishna Ekadasi in the month of Magh, and on that day they would behave in a way that was beyond the comprehension of the heretics. The Vaishnavas knew how to observe the days of Ekadasi and Dwadasi. They would take food only once today, the day before Ekadasi, and they would observe the day of Ekadasi with a full fast. They would not even drink water. On Dwadasi, they would again take food only once after making a variety of preparations and offering them to Lord Krishna. The offered food would be kept in different containers and offered again before the feet of Haridas Acharya. One of the villagers asked the educated man how he, an ignorant person, could learn these various Vaishnava customs. The educated felt pity for the humble villager and encouraged him to remain there for another 5 days and observe the grand festival to be held at the house of Sri Gokula. He knew that the Mahants would stay there for 5 days, so he advised the man to enjoy the Nam Sankirtan of the Bhagavats. Everyone appreciated the sincere behavior of Gokul Nanda and Sridas. That day of Dasami, they and their followers engaged themselves in Sankirtan. They were joyful because they knew they would receive mantra diksha on the month of Ekadasi. As they promised, Srinivas grant them diksha in Ram Krishna mantra and Radha Krishna mantra, and then dedicated his two new disciples to the feet of Radha Krishna and Sri Chaitanya. As they cried joyfully, Srinivasacharya embraced them affectionately and those who observe the ceremony praise the occasion by calling out the name of Lord Hari. On Dwadasi, Sridas and Gokula cooked many delicious food preps, and Sri Acharya offered the food to Lord Krishna. When sufficient time had passed, Srinivas offered betel leaves and water for the Lord to wash his mouth, and then transferred the food to another containers and offered them again to Sri Haridas Acharya in a solitary place. You catch that? He transferred to other containers. That's the standard in any temple. You don't serve prasadam in the same that you cooked it in. There's Krishna's pots and there's our pots. But in Japan, they told me, Japanese don't do that. One girl. But Vaishnavas do that. We should try for it. It's much cleaner. It's not nice. It's Krishna's kitchen, Krishna's pots, Krishna's everything. Sri Acharya requested the Vaishnavas to take their seats and ordered them, the serving men, to serve the fine food on banana leaves. The aroma of the fine food filled the air, and having invoked the name of Lord Hari, the Mahants relished the offered foodstuff. After washing their mouths, they all took rest. Thereafter, many people came from Kanchanagariya, crowded around the village, the place, eager to get Mahaprasad. When all the other Mahants had eaten, Srinivas Acharya took a portion of the Mahaprasad, but Sri Gokul Nanda and Sridas ate only scraps of foods left by Sri Acharya. Then they assembled in the courtyard to take part in the kirtan. The Srinivas was the topmost of all the Vaishnavas there, but he didn't eat till everyone else ate. Remnants. And when Janavi Mata served all the devotees, and they wanted to serve her, but she insisted she served Srinivas and she took his room. Before beginning Sankirtan, they loudly invoked the name of Lord Hari in the ecstasy of their chanting and dancing, accompanied by various musical instruments. The Bhagavats did not notice the passing of days and nights. In this way, they joyfully spent 5 days and nights. At last, the time for Sri Acharya's departure arrived, and not only the two brothers, but all the people of the village lamented. The Mahants who participated in the festival all praised the behavior of the two brothers and then returned to their own homes. But on the request of his two new disciples, Srinivas Acharya decided to stay there for another 4 days. He greatly appreciated their dedication and devotion to their guru.